A recent move by California Governor Jerry Brown checks one item off a checklist before the Karuk tribe can build a planned casino in Yreka. Tribal casinos continue to pop up along the Interstate 5 corridor, with plans in the works for a casino for Medford as well. This is not a speedy process. Tribal governments drive the process, but it involves lots of other entities from the federal government on down. So the checklist is long. Let's get up to date on the plans for the Yreka Casino. Buster Atterbury is the Karuk Tribal Chair and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Buster, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So how long have you been talking about a casino for Yreka?
Oh, gosh, probably since 2004, probably.
All right, so getting on 10 years
before now. Before I got here, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is Yreka well within the area where the Karuk lived historically?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So there are different kinds of casinos. I mean, they're with different sorts of amenities offered. So what kinds of games and amenities are being proposed for the Yreka operation?
Phase one will be approximately 30,000 square foot, probably between 400 and 500 machines, 8 table games. And it will have the, the standard variety. The two restaurants and event center, and then once we're generating some revenue, we'll begin phase two, which will be expansion in the hotel.
All right. When we talk about machines for a casino, that could mean any one of a number of things, from poker to slot machines. I mean, are we talking about some combination of those?
Yes. It would definitely be a combination. There's a lot of newer models out there right now, so we have the luxury of learning from other casinos,
right,
and studying their best practices.
Is phase two dependent upon success in phase one? Once phase one is up and running, will the income from that help generate the ability to complete phase two?
Yes. I think you described the idea, yes.
All right. We also have with us, in addition to Buster Atterbury, Jacqueline Goodwin, who's the self-governance coordinator for the Karuk tribe. Jacqueline, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
How important is it for the Karuk tribe to establish a casino? I mean, for the success of the tribe financially, socially, and in many other ways.
The casino is going to be really beneficial. It's going to bring approximately 300-plus jobs to the city of Yreka, and it'll give us an economic driver for the rest of the tribe throughout our service area.
Is there a particular place in Yreka that has been selected as the likely site for the casino?
Yeah, it's just off of Sharps Road in Yreka, at the end of Sharps Road.
Mm-hmm. In relation to downtown Yreka, for the folks who've been driving through over the years, where is that?
It's over by the fairgrounds, kind of. It's just behind the fairgrounds, maybe half a mile or so.
Okay, so it's off to the east of the freeway then?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, not very far from downtown Yreka at all, although, you know, Yreka is not a huge town either. There are so many hoops to jump through. Buster Atterbury, you recently got an approval of sorts from Governor Jerry Brown in California. What does that approval do, and how many hoops are yet to come?
Approval with the governor was the compact. We needed to have a compact with the state. The compact was written and reviewed and gone over with a fine-tooth comb, as they say, and signed by the governor, signed by myself. We're now in negotiations with the city of Yreka and Siskiyou County. Again, we get back to being able to have a lot of jobs, help with the education, youth groups. We're going to bring out a lot of our natural resources in tourism and that sort of thing. So it'll be, that part of it will be really good. And we hope that all the training that will be done, our developer is called Return on Investment, ROI. It's run by Tim Rose. And they have agreed to hire locally. We've already had Bray Consultants do a lot of our environmental work. They're local there in Yreka. So No, we're excited about the economics that's going to come out of it locally.
So, Jacqueline Goodwin, are the jobs given preferentially to members of the Karuk tribe, or are they open to everybody in the Wairika area?
They're going to be open to everybody. We do have a tribal employment rights ordinance that we'll be implementing. It just means that if two applicants are equally qualified, then you know the tribal member would be selected over the non-Indian.
And Buster, how do you make the economic calculations for what a casino might bring in? I mean, you obviously have other casinos doing business along the I-5 corridor now to do some comparing of notes with, but what kinds of figures are you coming up with for daily attendance, yearly income, things like that?
Well, our study was done by a group called Innovation, and they did all the estimates. They did the comparisons all the way up to Canyonville and Seven Feathers and down to Rolling Hills in Corning, California. And the numbers show that there's going to, you know, our main source is going to be Interstate 5 with approximately 30,000 vehicles going by that area each day. It will be visible from the I-5. And that was one of the reasons that we just do aesthetics, and we wanted to be something that will look really nice for the city of Wairika. We decided not to go with a sprung structure. We could have done that and had this up and running with Class 2 a long time ago. But we wanted to, you know, Class 3 is the really the brings in the resort theme, you know, with all the different types. You're limited with Class 2, so and like I said, it's going to be visible from I-5, so that's going to be our main draw.
What does Class 3 include that Class 2 does not?
With Class 3, you can have table games. Mm-hmm. In Class 2, you cannot.
All right, so it does make it more of a destination resort kind of thing. That would be the difference then, because with Class 2, it sounds like you're really just kind of taking pot luck on who's driving past and notices.
Sure, yes. Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Buster Atterbury, who's the Karuk Tribal Chair, and Jacqueline Goodwin, who's with the tribe as the Self-Governance Coordinator. We're talking about the plans for the casino for Wairika that have been identified for, as Buster points out, since probably 2004, so predates his time. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Jacqueline Goodwin, is this a move that a tribe does not undertake lightly? I mean, getting into a casino, there can be great income in it, but there's also a lot of expense up front. I mean, is it how difficult a set of decisions lead to even committing to such a thing in the first place?
Well, I think that, the tribe has struggled for many years trying to find, different business opportunities to become self-sustainable. And, you know, over the years, we haven't been able to develop any kind of local economy around Happy Camp in Orleans just due to the isolation and, you know, the lack of access to the forests. And so this has been a big success in a lot of other tribal communities. And so, I think that it was something that was always in the tribal council's mind, you know, hoping that we would be able to do it someday. And we've, you know, stuck to it and done a thorough process in examining, you know, what's the best way to go about it. And, this time it seems to be working out. So we're going to keep moving forward.
Are there concerns expressed, Buster, within the tribe, though, that by having this center of economic activity in Wairika, you might be drawing people away from more traditional lifestyles in places like Happy Camp and Orleans?
Oh, no, I think they'll be intact. There'll be some people that move out and take some jobs and stuff, but as far as down to Happy Camp and basically their way of life and their ceremonies were very, very strong there. So I think there'll be some movement, but it'll like I said, it'll be a lot of new business, new people, spending time and money in Wairika and you know, hopefully looking at it at their natural resources place, maybe a place to retire and the future, And really what we want to keep in mind is what there was a switch in the tribal advisors from the time I came in, from Jacob Applesmith to Joe Dillon, and they're both advisors to the governor, and both of them came up and you know, wanted to keep it. They didn't want our money because we're the second largest tribe in California, and we're at, you know, high unemployment rate within Siskiyou County, and they wanted the whole county to do better. They wanted everybody in the county to benefit. Whereas some of the casinos, they come in and they actually took a percentage of some of their profit. In this case, you know, that would go to different revenue sharings, funds that they had. So they're not asking anything from us. They're asking us to, you know, make sure we do what's right for the county and the city, and we want to keep that in mind.
So what kind of income streams would there be for the city of Yreka, which I assume you're within the city limits, and for Siskiyou County, for that matter?
Well, we're negotiating them right now. They go all the way from incentive to, we obviously have impact fees that they're going to get. You know, that's a lump sum, but in a foundation of sorts. So those type of things are in negotiation right now.
All right. So what kind of money would it take just to get things up and running, and what's the timeline at this point? I mean, it's been talked about for nearly 10 years now. How much longer are we anticipating, and how much money will it take to get things going?
Well, gladly, we're getting closer. So, and we're looking at borrowing between $30 and $35 million for phase one, We currently are active with Tribal Financial Advisors, TFA, and the sooner that we can get the IGAs with the city and county done, the sooner we can get our financing and the sooner we can break ground. We're right now expecting, because I think there's a certain time period after the final tier, so I'm hoping for early summer to start construction, and they said between 11 and 12 months construction period.
Early summer of 2014?
Yes.
Wow, okay, so that would be fairly soon. Again, we're talking about the plans for a Karuk Tribal Casino for Yreka. Buster Atterbury is the Karuk Tribal Chair. Jacqueline Goodwin is the Self-Governance Coordinator. You can join us on The Exchange with questions or comments. I know there have been concerns raised before about gambling generally and casinos more specifically, and about some of the specific casino proposals out there. Let's hear your thoughts. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Some of the opposition, certainly, Buster, that's been talked about for the proposal for the Coquille tribe to put a casino in Medford deals with the fact that the folks at the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Indians are not pleased about this being their primary service area. They feel the Coquilles are, in essence, poaching on there. So there's no issue like that with the Karuk Casino, though, is there?
No. There's... we've had some individual comments from the Shasta Nation, although they're not a federally recognized tribe. So, but other than that, no, there's no opposition to ours. We've worked closely with Cow Creek and expect to in the future.
Well, you've got the one proposed for Medford. You have been talking, it sounds like, to the folks at Cow Creek in Canyonville. There's the other casino south of Redding. Have you been coordinating pretty much with both of them?
Yeah. There's been some conversation with both casinos. Obviously, the comparisons. We're getting ready to get it put on a bill. We have to have it on a bill and pass through legislation. We have hired a lobbyist to do that. According to our lobbyists, there's no opposition down in Sacramento. So if Rolling Hills or Cow Creek had any opposition, it would show up there, and there is none. So there's another group called, I think it's called Stand Up California. and they sometimes put the situation under a microscope, and there's no opposition from them. So, we're like I said, I feel like we're real close. We can work out the details with the city of Wairika and the county supervisors. We should be able to move forward.
And did either one of you give a figure yet for what the expected income would be from the casino in years, say, 1 through 5?
I would quote it, but I'm not sure. So, Jacqueline, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure on the exact number now.
So it would be hard to give a quote on that.
And what's the anticipated lag between the completion of Phase 1 and the construction of Phase 2?
We're not expecting. It depends on the success.
So nobody's saying at the outset 5 years or 8 years or something.
You know, with the I-5 corridor, it's even our financial advisors, it's going to be a success. And basically, in part because of the I-5 corridor and the traffic that comes through there and what will draw from there. So we plan to not to be hardly any lapse period between Phase 1 and Phase 2. If we're generating the kind of revenue that we think we'll move right into that. We have some certain priorities we want to do. Obviously, number one is getting our project paid off, and then we have health clinics and dental clinics in all three locations: Happy Camp, Wairika, and Orleans. And we service non-Indians as well as Indians as those. We want to see about expanding on those, expanding on our education program and our youth, a lot of them are youth sports groups because that's what I do. So, a lot of things we have we want to do for the community. The help that we're going to get for our tribal members is going to fall into place pretty nicely, we think.
Is there any money that comes from casino operation that gets placed into a fund for gambling assistance or gambling addiction programs?
Yes, those are all included in all the way IGRA. It's the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. We'll have three commissioners. Having the benefit of seeing other casinos and studying the successful ones and their best practices, and that is in one of these areas where it's your compulsive gambling or abusive gambling, that we have programs that are preset for that.
Jacqueline Goodwin,
we've talked to the city and the county about those issues also, and setting up a compulsive behavior treatment program, and that'll be part of the IGA.
All right, so that's one of their lines. It's like you have to take care of this before we give our approval.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There must have been some chance, Jacqueline Goodwin, for you to compare notes with your counterparts at other tribes, though, tribes that have built casinos, and get a chance to get a feel for some of the things they wish they'd done a little differently. Are there any real cautionary notes that were sounded about try not to do this, et cetera?
I think one of the biggest things is just overbuilding. Some tribes have kind of, really went into the destination resort and, like, while we want to make it really nice and everything's going to be, high quality, we do want to, take it slow, and that's why we're doing it in the two phases and, really trying to build a solid project within a reasonable budget. That's kind of the main priority at this point for us.
So don't get overextended is the big message there. And Buster was just talking about health clinics and things like that. What are some of the other places where where you're thinking about being able to spend some of the income from the casino?
Definitely, education. Our language program has kind of struggled just maintaining an ongoing budget. So language and culture, basket weaving classes, and traditional regalia making, all those kind of things kind of come from foundations and, you know, different small grants through the state and the federal government. And so with the casino funds, we'll be able to supplement our own programs with our own funds. And it will be, you know, it'll be a really good thing because those programs will be able to be ongoing as opposed to, you know, 6 months here and 6 months there.
And what are the numbers on the Karuk population? I mean, how many people are considered enrolled tribal members?
We have approximately 3,700 tribal members.
All right. And has there been much, I mean, was there any sort of a vote that gets taken within the tribe on moving ahead with something like a casino project, Buster Atterbury?
If it was, it was before I got here. Mm-hmm. So I would just say that there's probably been a consensus. You know, we've struggled. I grew up here and went to high school here and worked here for quite a few years, and the timber industry was, you know, a very viable commodity, and obviously, and then it was gone. So, we really need the economy. So, I think it was pretty much a consensus. I guess honestly, I can't say if I knew there was a vote. I don't think they voted on it. But.
All right. So, again, if all goes as planned, you actually could begin construction on the casino in Roraima by sometime in the late summer.
Yeah.
Buster Atterbury is the Karuk Tribal Chair. Jacqueline Goodwin is the Self-Governance Coordinator. And we will see in the months ahead whether the construction begins on a casino in Wairika. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.